From the Hill Country in Texas, broadcasting worldwide, this is OneRadioNetwork.com.
Good morning.
This is OneRadioNetwork.com. The telephone number is 888-663-6386. Email Patrick at OneRadioNetwork.com. Here's your host, Patrick Timpone.
That would be moi, and you are you, but we are one. How can that be, Adam, if we're all one, but you're different? I mean, come on. You know, that'll make your head explode, right? Good morning, Adam Bergstrom.
Good morning.
Yeah, nice to have you here, Adam Bergstrom. We're going to have a fun, special show this hour, and then Dr. Peter Bregan. Have you ever heard of Dr. Bregan, Adam Bergstrom?
Yes, I have. I'm an admirer.
Yeah, he's really good, isn't he? Wow. Yeah.
I'll be listening to him right after me.
Looking at his website, he has been a legal, what do they call him when they, what do they call it? When you go into a courtroom and you testify for this or that, whatever.
He's one legal witness for legal,
For the prosecution or for the defense. And he's been involved in, lots of cases, lawsuits and, you know, against different companies and stuff. And so we'll have a lot to talk about with Peter Bregan about the SSRIs, about the shootings and the guns. And he says ADHD is just a made-up thing, and don't worry. He's a pretty cool guy. He's got a lot of books coming up. Now, but I thought it would be very, very, very much fun, because I've seen quite a bit of activity on our One Radio Network website. By the way, it's May 24, 2018. Good morning, Patrick Timpone. And Anna Bergstrom, who's here on the first Monday of every month, one of the coolest guys ever, lives out in Montecito, great researcher, and he has a blog, and it's very popular on One Radio Network. And he started to do a blog on yawning and stretching, some time ago. And Adam just finished, I believe you said, your 16th blog on yawning and stretching. So I said, boy, if there's that much to really talk about, we should do a special hour. This is all we're going to talk about. So no questions other than this, please, and keep us on track. Try to. On yawning and stretching and where it all goes with Adam Bergstrom. So thanks for stepping up to the plate here, Adam, as you always do. You were telling me just before the show that Gwyneth Paltrow, who lives out in your neighborhood, she's into pandiculation as well. Where did you see that?
On the internet. Yeah, on her site, Goop, too. Goop is the name of her site. It's kind of a nonsense word. She said she wanted something short and sweet, and it can mean nothing and anything.
Huh. So she talks about stretching and yawning?
Yeah, lots of things. She also talks about jade eggs and vaginal steaming, but this is a children's show.
Does she talk about vaginal steaming?
She sure does.
My goodness, I have to check out Goop here.
And she sells a coffee enema machine.
Does she really?
Seriously.
I knew that she was a very natural kind of chick, but I didn't realize it that much. You know, that's great.
Yeah. Very natural.
Good for her. Well,
body vibes, EM waves, and yawning, and pandiculation.
And pandiculation. So when did you, for those of you who live in San Bernardino that don't pay attention, just kidding. Pandiculation is the idea that most species on the planet do, and that is yawning and stretching at the same time. Is that correct?
Combined, simultaneously, yep.
What was that word you
it's
used?
Like you do it in the morning to get rid of muscle contraction during the night.
What was that word you used?
Muscle contraction.
No, before that, you said a word about doing it at the same time.
Pandiculation. Oh, yawning and stretching.
And then you said another word I didn't get. I'm sorry. Maybe it was just.
Oh, well. Yikes, I forgot.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's okay. So, the idea that when we yawn first thing in the morning and stretch, which most people kind of do instinctively, There's a difference between just yawning and stretching separately. What's that?
Well, it's a holistic yawn when you do the both together. They actually call it a holistic yawn or a complete yawn. Yawn means have a wide open mouth, and the pandiculation part comes in when the full body is involved. In my latest blog about horse sense, about a horse will not develop their musculoskeletal system unless they yawn, and the goal is 50 times a day for horse trainers.
Really? So I've never seen a horse. Of course, I've never owned a horse, so why would I see one? So the horse people out there, have you ever seen your horse yawn?
Definitely, and I posted a yawning horse on Facebook.
Did you? I'll have to look at that.
For this show.
So how did the trainers get the horse to yawn early on to develop properly? I wonder if racehorse people know. They must know this.
Well, usually it starts automatically. It's supposed to. If it doesn't, one of the things they can do is, since yawning is contagious, is yawn around the horse.
I see. So they just kind of do it naturally. They yawn.
We start, as human beings and animals, start yawning in the womb.
Really?
So it's a very early function, and it entirely necessary for bone health and collagen health and muscle health. All of those are involved.
So walk us through there. Talk to us like we're a young child or a golden retriever. How does yawning actually play into the development? I mean, it's just real curious. Is it the breath thing or what's going on?
It's a fancy word called the respiratory exchange ratio, basically is breathing. And what they don't tell you is it's the medulla oblongata, too, the mouth of God, that's involved. You won't find that in most all yawning reflexes, because they have decided it has nothing to do with oxygen. And yet, the very thing they know, the paraventricular nucleus, which is involved in getting a heart on, by the way.
I beg your pardon?
Because yawning will do that. But anyway, they say it won't turn on without oxygen. So how can oxygen not be involved in yawning?
All right. I want you to follow the bouncing ball, though. Get this yawning thing into actually, what's going on physiologically in the body to make it so beneficial? Do we know?
Carbon dioxide and oxygen ratios. That's why you can also lose weight. Because fat, ultimately, is, if you lose weight, it goes out your nose. That's 84% carbon dioxide, and 16% is retained in the body as water, H2O, except what comes out of the eyes in a complete yawn. You will tear up in the eyes. Otherwise, you're not yawning completely.
So the CO2 and the oxygen ratio get more imbalanced when we yawn?
They certainly do. Yep. And the trick is, the average yawn is about 6 seconds. And that balances and helps the stretching. But if you extend the yawn, then you're getting the Buteyko method combined with the yawning. An extended yawn actually gives you more carbon dioxide. And they now know that carbon dioxide is necessary for bone health and for oxygen ratio.
So when we yawn, we're actually taking or not putting out so much CO2, Adam?
Oh, well, actually, we want carbon.
That's what I mean. So when we yawn, are we retaining more?
Yes, we retain. Well, we activate it and drive it inward. And when we drive it inward, it turns on the oxygen reflex and gets oxygen further developed into the cell and the organelles in the cell. Because otherwise oxygen can be superficial. And that driving in, many people don't realize, under pressure, you don't need red blood cells to deliver oxygen. It can be delivered without it, as people in the hyperbaric chamber business know.
So let me see if I follow that. So let's see. So the yawning increases CO2, which then kicks off the RER, breathing. Essentially breathing, and that drives oxygen to more spots, better places, faster, more efficiently?
Exactly. Now, we have a backup system where oxygen can actually initiate yawning, but it's very irregular, and it's only used for a backup system. Like when you first go to elevation, when you're confronting mountain sickness, then often beginners at new altitudes will start to experience that, and there are some neurological problems. But basically, carbon dioxide, the more and better quality we get, the better our breathing and the more oxygen, and the deeper the oxygen goes into the body. Otherwise, it can stay superficially and just get into the cell, but not into the nucleus and the DNA and places like that.
So when we do yoga, and just, we were always taught, when I do yoga, to breathe through my mouth. Would it then be beneficial, if you're going to do stretches, any kind, yogic stretches or whatever, to try to initiate the yawning thing while you're doing it? Just go ahead and open your mouth and just kind of say yawn and make yourself yawn or whatever?
Exactly. The gapping of the mouth. Now, Donald Lay, Swami Nitty Gritty, he taught me when you stick out your tongue, it automatically initiates yawning. And when you do it, don't have a gap. In other words, don't let the air in. Actually stick out your tongue with a closed mouth and stretch it out as much as possible. And then also withdraw it back in. Suck your tongue back in. This will initiate yawning automatically without even the stretching.
So like let's try this. Let's all of us try this. Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to stick our tongue out, and you stick it out so much that it you can't breathe through your mouth, that kind of thing, and then draw it back in?
Yep.
Okay, how long do you hold it out?
You can do what you call the lizard technique and bring it out quickly and withdraw it quickly, or you can hold it out and experiment with different tongue foo, you might call it. Look how a lizard catches a fly with their tongue. Doing.
Well, it didn't make me yawn, but that's the best way to initiate.
Well, there's multiple ways when you stretch your body and push various points. And also, one good way to learn to yawn is study the scuba diving manuals on how to clear the Eustachian tubes, which are clearly involved in the yawning process. And by the way, Eustachian tubes are involved with kidney health and with bladder health. And that's why the neck muscles, particularly the levator scapula up the neck, are involved in yawning and kidney health.
So you could look at some things on how to clear the Eustachian tube. It might give you some tips.
Right off the scuba diving manuals, or also when you go up in a plane, you know, how yawning will clear the Eustachian tubes, because many people will get pain. Now, in a regular airplane, it's pressurized about 5,000 feet, you know, and then reduced or increased when you land. But in the old-time planes, before they pressurized, people would have ear damage, because you're going up 12,000 feet and you can bust your eardrums. And coming down particularly, I took one official flying lessons and several unofficial ones, but the first time I thought my ears were going to bust when he did a power dive.
We're talking about yawning and stretching, pandiculation. If you have a question, 888-663-6386, email Patrick at oneradionetwork.com. In your second blog, you were talking about Ray Pete. He was writing about yawning too, that you quoted in there.
Yes, and he's against it.
Oh, is he against it?
Yeah, he really is. He thinks you can't get carbon dioxide ratios balanced that way, that basically you're oxygenating the brain. And he wants to carbon dioxide it. But you do carbon dioxide it that way. And I've written emails to Andrew Murray, who is one of the people that used to interview him quite much. And so far, no reply. Mm-hmm. But yawning has been a tried and true technique for a long time. It was particularly popular about 100 years ago, but because it's so curative, back in 1923, it was known by a doctor named Dr. Francis Waltz that a paralyzed person could move their limbs while they were yawning.
No kidding. And they couldn't. They yawned and they could move their limbs.
For that research, they made him a sir. He is Sir Francis Walsh.
Walsh, I'll be darned.
That's right, British, obviously.
Somehow he saw in his patients that when they yawned, they would move a little bit, these paralyzed patients.
Oh, yeah, they would move a lot, but it couldn't be retained. Only they didn't continue to do research, because if you keep doing it long enough, some paralysis is taken care of. The connection being the medulla oblongata. That's where the yawn experts have been gone. If you'll pardon the pun, there's a yawning gap in research on yawning.
Are there actually different mainstream models that say that yawning is bad for you? I think you have that one of your blocks.
Well, Ray Pete seems to be in few people that actually say that. Others say it's necessary, but they don't believe it's very curative. It's just a curiosity, and they don't research it. But much of the research now is coming full circle, and they're beginning to realize how important it is. Because, again, in the animal world, trainers of various animals know that it is necessary for bone health. It is necessary for muscle health and its development. A horse that doesn't yawn is going to be a dead horse very soon. And a horse that doesn't yawn deep enough or enough in time and quantity and quality, they will be ill. It's definitely, the trainer will know by the yawning whether that horse is going to be ill from a variety of diseases.
You say in one of your blogs that SSRIs that we're going to talk about with Peter Bregan, that they make people... they make people yawn, so maybe the body's trying to balance out these drugs?
To get rid of them.
Yeah.
The same with nitric oxide. Nitric oxide is eliminated through it. And other chemicals are activated. One of them is glycine, which is in gelatin, which is necessary for bone health. So that's one of the links.
888-663-6386, email Patrick at oneradionetwork.com. Do we think most animals yawn? They must. I've never seen, Doodle doesn't much, but she sure does a downward dog. It's so hilarious to watch her do that. You know what downward.
You can yawn around Doodle and Doodle will start to yawn more. And that's healthy for, that can actually cure animal diseases too.
Yep.
Doodle doesn't have any, but prevention is worth a pound of a cure.
I just have some raw cacao in my smoothie get caught in my throat here. I grate it up. I have this big chunk of it's kind of in my throat. It's funny to watch her where she'll just do the classic, like the downward dog on the cat picture that we have on the, in the front page here. That's the cat is yawning and stretching. That's that. And you can do that in yoga. And she'll do that and stretch and get on her back and do the thing. But so if I yawn around her, then she'll start yawning too, huh?
For centuries, yogis have known the benefit of downward dog and the breath that goes along with it.
So does yawning then and stretching somehow must be a good thing for more parasympathetic, right?
But see, the balance is important. And actually, meditation involves the sympathetic nervous system, not the other way around. You'll find yawning activates through the vagus nerve. Both systems are involved. Vagus nerve is not just connected with the... And by the way, it's vagus nerves. A lot of people refer to it as a singular. There are two, just like most of the organs in our body, except unifying ones like the pineal gland.
So the vagus nerve, when you yawn and stretch, it's more of a balancing. Doesn't necessarily say, I'm going to go back to more parasympathetic as we would.
We need both, because to move and do any kind of action, then we need the sympathetic nervous system. But when we digest, it's very important to be in the parasympathetic nervous system, because parasympathetic nervous system is the spine and the sympathetic nervous system is the skin. And the actual chakras, endocrine centers, are in the skin, not in the spine. The spine is a reflex to the skin. That's why you have the border patrol at the Mexican border and at the Canadian border and at the Atlantic and the Pacific Oceans. You don't have the border patrol in Iowa or Nebraska or Colorado or Pennsylvania.
If you'd like to ask Adam a question about this subject or whatever, question or comment, 888-663-6386, email patrick@oneradionetwork.com. It seems that cats, the cat family, seem to be one of the best yawners. If you look, I was looking for videos, I mean pictures to put, and I put in yawning and stretching in this service that we pay a monthly fee to use photos, you know, that are, you know, so we don't, you know, that we pay the license for, and that's the only ones we use. And I'd put in yawning and stretching, and most of the shots were of cats, you know, different kind of cats.
One of the best of all yawners is the pelican. But in pelican yawning, you'll be amazed. They are ferocious yawners.
Well, you know, cats live a very long time, right? I mean, they're generally, before we start feeding them all these weird food, you know, 50 years, 30, 40 years ago, they generally can live 20 years.
Longer, 25 years.
Yeah.
The food that is fed cats now takes about 10 years off their lives.
Yeah.
Notice you put the dry food out, ants won't eat it generally, but the wet food they will. But people feed dry food to their pets, and ants won't even eat it.
Yeah. And we've had a lot of folks over the years say that the gooey food is really the very best for cats. You know, they are carnivores too. You know, they really like meat and fish. And if you just in passing, we don't have financial interest in it, but we think Dr. Broderick's perfect food is probably the cleanest cat food ever. It's cornucopiapetfood.com, and it's all organic. Every ingredient is organic and perfectly formulated for your feline friends. And you put them on that, and I suspect they're never going to, well, never say never, but oh, they will get sick. He's a cool guy.
Cats are obligate carnivores, as they say, but they do graze on the grass because they know how to get their minerals, too.
They sure do. Yeah. I tell you,
go ahead. Here all the time, eating, nibbling on grass all day.
Yeah.
Throughout the day.
Yeah. Boy, I tell you, Doodle's been going through a little detox, too, since we did this. Had you hear about this whole mold thing I did?
No, I've missed that, but no, I did hear.
Well, let me just tell you here, because I wanted to talk about Living Streams a minute and keep you on and do it. So you know, Wayne Blakely, who you probably have heard, he's been on a few times, cool guy. He's, he's got these probiotics that they're liquid that he kind of, you know, he's always experimenting with them, and he's putting different things in the probiotics, you know, like different mosses and some herbs and curcuminum and these really special bifidos that he's figured out that the body likes. And so somehow, I think it's a moss is one of the key ingredients in a product called Mold Relief, right? Mold Relief. And we know that talking from people, Adam, over the years, that virtually all sheetrock will mold. I mean, it's kind of designed to mold, if you can believe that, because it wicks humidity from the air. And it'll just mold. George Swanson has told us that. And it's very hard for people in homes with sheetrock 20, 30 years, you know. Anyway, so he sends me this quart of this Mold Relief stuff. And so I have this machine. It's kind of a fogger. It's called a fogger. And we're not selling them, but we found one that's one of the best ones that he likes. And we put it in our store so people wouldn't have to look around for it. You can check it out. It's called a Tri-Jet. So you put it there and then you start spraying. So I did my home and I did my bedroom first, and you just spray the walls, you spray everything. It doesn't stain anything. And we're doodle and I sleep. And I tell you, 15 minutes after I did it, you could feel a noticeable difference in the room, you know, just in the lightness of the room. So mold must have a heaviness to it. If we had some mold in our sheetrock, which we must have, you know, you could feel it, you know, you could actually feel that. And so then he said you could nebulize some of it, right? So I did, and when I nebulized some of it, and it was mixed 7-1, I had flu symptoms all night long. All night long. So then I did it the next day, and I made it even stronger, and I had worse flu symptoms. So I don't do that anymore. So this stuff is really pretty powerful, and it's called Mold Relief. If you have some sheetrock and stuff in your home, you might want to look at it. We put it in the store. I'm just really jazzed about this. I mean, I could feel it. And the reason I thought about talking about it right now, while we wanted to do a commercial anyway, is that and for days after that, Doodle was detoxing as well as Patrick, and because she's been eating just a lot of grass and also skipped a few meals and has thrown up a couple times. So obviously your animals are getting these little moldies too, you know, because you're living in your home. So there's something powerful going on with this. If you go into our store, you'll see Mold Relief. You can click on there and order some. And as I said, we just found this place called Pet Strong that sells the Tri-Jet thing. And you could click on there and go ahead and if you want to get it. As I said, we don't have a connection with them, but we found one. It's for $294. You might be able to find a more inexpensive one. But I wanted to actually give you the one that Wayne recommends. It's a Fog Master Tri-Jet Fogger. And you can actually maybe split it up between, you know, your family or friends. And then, you know, so you all can use it once you fog your house. And you could do it every couple of years. And one quart of this stuff will cover 8,000 square feet when you mix it 7-to-1. And if you have questions about it before buying it or asking about it, you can call the company and we have the number on our Wayne Blakely show page, and they'll give you more information, Marilyn, there as well. But there's really something going on with this. This mold thing may be a really quiet, a very silent little problem. We're also going to revisit some of the people that talked about mold in our show, and we'll also see if Adam has some writings on mold, and maybe you could have you done some blogs on mold? I'm sure you have over the years.
Yes, most Americans have mold in their stomach, and it's not supposed to be there, and it's from incomplete digestion, as Dr. William Beaumont showed when he experimented on a hole in the stomach of Alexis St. Martin. Wow. So 100 years ago.
So it gets in there. It's not coming from the outside. The body is creating this mold?
Comes from the outside and comes up from the colon, too, because we can actually have fecal vomiting. It's very rare. It comes from the ascending colon, but many people have fecal bacteria in their stomach, and people also have it coming in the other way. That's why the stomach acid is a protection against that. And the one that has the most protection is the buzzard, which has almost a stomach acid of zero, which is like a hundred million times more acidic than a human stomach.
Stomach acid of zero. That's why they can eat car parts or eat anything like that. Yeah. So this may be, you know, there's so many connected things. This demolding that I did and the nebulizing, maybe this has been a key thing why my whole burning thing is like improved maybe 80% in a week, which is just to me phenomenal after 2 years. So maybe there was mold down there in my tummy too, right? I mean, how would you know unless you go down there testing it and all that? You wouldn't know, would you?
And there's good mold and there's bad mold.
But sure,
bad
but mold, I mean, yeah.
The good mold, of course, is like penicillin, which is natural in nature. When people take it unbalanced through coal tar products, that's where the problem starts. Otherwise, we're eating penicillin-like chemicals with everything we put in our mouth that isn't cooked and killed.
Yes.
And that's good. And that's one of the reasons we need raw food.
Yeah. So if you see any other stuff on mold, we're going to be doing some shows on it. Maybe you'd forward it to us or do some more blogs, and you could join in the fun. It's just really, really pretty amazing. I mean, it could be going on. And I know Wayne says that people that are being affected by mold, they don't know it, Well, it's one of those things where, you know, they could be doing a lot of different things and they're never going to kind of get well or anything like that. They're having a harder time if they got this mold thing going on. So it's really, well, just one of the other things that we've been discovering. Previously with chemist, biologist, and nutritionist George Altgeld, we asked him this. And so what do you think about Dr. Seneff's contention that as these glyphosates are in the soil, they bust the sulfur cycle, and that's really detrimental to the body?
It's extremely detrimental. Sulfur is such an important detoxifying agent for the entire body and especially for the liver. You've got to have trace minerals so that the liver can build these compounds that are essential for getting itself cleaned. And that lady who was talking about sulfur, man, play that ad every chance you get, because our foods are so deficient in sulfur, and it is a big deal for the liver to have enough sulfur to make all those compounds that it uses to detoxify itself. Not just sulfur, they're all important, but sulfur is the one that we're so deficient in, and we need sulfur.
Thanks, George. I had some this morning. You might want to give it a try. You can click an order right on the front page of OneRadioNetwork.com. 3 locations, 3 prices delivered. And if you like more than £4 for a discount, email me, Patrick, at OneRadioNetwork.com.
Starving for vitality, we're turning to energy drinks, stimulants, and pharmaceuticals to try to improve our focus, increase our metabolism, rescue our sex drive, and adapt to the stresses of modern-day living. Each year, an elk sheds its impressive antlers, regenerating an even larger set the following year. These velvet antlers have been a revered traditional medicine for thousands of years. Elk antler harnesses the adaptogenic and highly regenerative growth factors from this natural and ethical resource into a concentrated, bioavailable extraction. Its revitalizing effects span bone, muscle, and nerve support. Improve metabolism, cellular repair, sexual potency, anti-inflammation, vascular strengthening, and hormone production. Humanely harvested from free-range U.S. elk, extracted in organic alcohol, and protected in Miron glass, our elk antler is available in 3 strengths to restore your vitality at any level.
And while we got yourself a big... I have to quit drinking this smoothie. This chocolate's getting caught in my throat. We have a great sale going on with pine pollen. If you click on One Radio Network, any one of the Surthrival links, even the Rishi at the top, and there's pine pollen, 3 different pine pollens. They're on sale, limited time. So if you want to get, I'm sorry, the elk velvet. This thing in my throat has got me going ADD. The Elk Velvet Antler is on sale. Elk Velvet Antler on sale on OneRadioNetwork.com and all the Surthrival links. With Adam Bergstrom talking about yawning and stretching and appendiculation. Adam has pointed out, writes Kevin, with witty clues to the meaning of words and diagnosis such as asthma, may equal to the as the ma, implying the condition as a link to mama issues. How does this work for people whom use this different terms or different languages? I'm not sure. How does this work for people whom use different terms? Oh, like in different languages, like, yeah.
They have their own puns in it. But according to Swami Nitty Gritty, English is a special language. He said there's 3 types of Sanskrit: positive Sanskrit, which is Sanskrit, negative Sanskrit, which is Latin, and neutral Sanskrit, which is English, which is one of the few languages has a we in it. In other words, the gender is not male and female. It can be either, and you can't tell the gender from words. Like in Spanish, you know, you have the A and the O at the end, is señor or señorita, with the A and the O. You don't have that in English. So English gives you a springboard into Esperanto, which has an I, U, us, and a field effect also. So language affects and expands the brain, and anything that has three in it, a trinary language, has yes, no, maybe. And the answer to self-realization is actually being able to think in three categories instead of 99% of humanity, which thinks in two categories. It's either black or white. It's either red or green. It's either good or bad. They don't put the neutral in it, which is the escape valve from lower consciousness.
How is yawning and stretching related to losing weight or gaining weight?
You know, the fact is that 84% of fat is just basically frozen, quote-unquote, carbon dioxide, and frozen, 16% frozen water, structured water. And the structured water is okay in fat. We obviously need fat. But when you get too much, you're getting too much of it, and you can actually breathe it out. Now, researchers know, they claim all you have to do is move and eat less, and that's going to solve the problem. But anyone with a thyroid problem can retain, and the set point can change, where you can actually gain weight on 700 calories. This has been done in experiments, and they don't tell you about that part, that you can't turn fat into energy because that breaks the laws of chemistry and physics unless you have an atomic bomb or a nuclear bomb. Explode if you lost weight that way.
I've heard Dr. Daniels talk a lot about the need for collagen as we age to maintain healthy joints, writes Carol. Does Adam think collagen is necessary? If so, how do we get it?
Yawning.
You can
That's exactly what, if you read blog number 16.
That's what it
yawning
is.
Yawning is how you get it, because it activates glycine. No matter how much glycine or gelatin you put in your body, if it doesn't have a qualitative effect, the quantitative effect won't work. And people have trouble understanding that. They think they can take so many milligrams or micrograms of a chemical and that's going to go in their body. But most chemicals are rejected by the body. Chromium and some of those elements only have about a 3% absorption ratio. Only that's the body being smart. It says, I don't need it, so I'm dumping it. And people don't realize that, but sometimes, because of other things, we block that mechanism and make it unavailable to different levels. Like, it may be available to the interstitial fluid, but not to the cell. It may be available to the cell, but not the interstitial fluid, or the nucleus of the cell, or the DNA, or the chromomeres, or the chromomata, or the histones in our body. People don't factor where the delivery is going to be. Anybody who delivers packages knows you need an address. You need the floor of the building you're going to. You need three dimensions. Well, the periodic table is the blueprint for how the body processes food, how it digests it, absorbs it, and utilizes it and eliminates it.
Anna Bergstrom on yawning and stretching. Patrick Timpone, OneRadioNetwork.com. Peter Bregan coming up. Mark writes in, all this talk about yawning is making me yawn like crazy. Sometimes I get into yawning fits and I can't stop. So let's stop there. That's a nice statement. So yawning fits, that would just be good for, I would suspect, but you tell me, that just to kind of go with it and just keep yawning and stretching until you stop?
It's the body's need to yawn, and sometimes you might yawn hundreds of times. The set point can get stuck there. But in 99% of the cases, yawning is necessary. And what do we do in society? We try to stifle it.
Sure. So just go with it. Just go with it, huh?
Yeah. When we say we're under pressure, it's legitimate. We are out of balance with the environmental pressure. At sea level, the pressure is supposed to be 14.7 pounds per square inch. And our internal body is supposed to be 14.6 pounds per square inch. Hmm. That difference is why when you pass out, the environment will be pushed into you. God breathed into man. Man didn't breathe into God. All our job is to exhale. And health is a cool head and a hot bum, but most people have hot heads and a cold bum.
So God breathed in, as it says in biblically, so that's the allegory used. So God breathed in carbon dioxide. That's why we're carbon beings.
The Bible has really good health advice.
Yeah, it does.
And that's one. God breathed into man. It's very clear. The environment breathes into us. We don't breathe into the environment. Now, we exhale. We owe carbon dioxide to the environment to have the plants grow. In fact, even if there was such a thing as global warming, it would improve the planet because the plant life would flourish and human beings would flourish and have less of a variety of diseases too. So if global warming was real, I'd be voting for it. I wouldn't be putting restrictions on it.
Because it's good for the trees like carbon, right?
Actually, they it's their filet mignon. They love carbon dioxide.
So this whole, let's not go there. I'll get too far off. I'll get too far off point here. Mark says, I remember when my first child was born, within 30 minutes of birth, I sit in a quiet room and hold the baby, and we had a little contagious yawning episode. I can't remember who initiated the first yawn, but I felt a deep connection from it. So both he and the baby were yawning 30 minutes after coming out of the womb. Wow.
It's communication and it's talking without language, because carbon dioxide is what all psi ability is based on. It's the carbon in a pencil. It's called a lead pencil, but it's carbon. We write with it and we write our programming on our cells. And by yawning, you can change the programming on your cells and have a different personality emerge, which is hard for most people. Most people are stuck with the same personality that they develop as a child. As the Jesuits used to say, give us a child before they're 3 years old and we'll have a Catholic for life. same thing with anything, whether you're a Protestant or whatever religion you are, a Buddhist, whatever, they know about that. And why do children learn language so ferociously? Because we have mental blocks called language that stop us from it. But people who have been able to go back to the childlike state, then they can learn any language, like Sir Richard Burton, who knew 48 languages. Some say 28, but he also peripherally knew other languages too. And he could write and speak in them fluently, 28 of them. And that was common 200 years ago. Our educational system now has dumbed us down where people don't know 5, 10, 20 languages, including music and art.
It's so funny. It's like, what's the one in the Bible? And unless you become like children, you enter the kingdom. And my teacher, Paul Twitchell, has talked about that childlike state of just getting rid of all the things that you think you know, kind of thing, and just look at something with a childlike state of curiosity, right? And say, how does this work? You know, that kind of idea. And you also have a thing in the something about the Lord said to Moses from a biblical thing about stiff-necked people.
Yes, and you'll notice when a person needs yawning, if they lie with their head to the side and it's really stiff when they lie down, they are in serious need of pandiculation. Those neck muscles, the levator scapula and the upper neck muscles connect into the kidney and the eyes and the ears, and they are one of the first symptoms of having problems.
So if people are being diagnosed, according to one of your blogs, with these cervical degenerative disc disease in the neck, and they really just got to let go, loosen up, chill out, and yawn and move a little bit.
It can actually replate the calcium that's lost in the spine, in the bones, in the middle ears, in the pineal gland, because calcium is totally necessary for so-called psychic phenomena, which is generated through calcium. As the founder of the Polaroid camera found, Edward Land, that it was necessary, and he used it to invent the Polaroid camera. Mm-hmm.
So, and we get these degenerative neck things, you know, in our neck if they don't have the proper curve and all that, and that could be totally helped by yawning and stretching too.
Stretching and yawning helps that. Most diseases are gravitosis. In other words, gravity impinges on us. That's why you also need to reverse gravity by doing headstands.
Get upside down. So you say the yawning and stretching actually will help to replate these degenerative disc things that they say is going on in the world. Carbon dioxide, more carbon dioxide.
It activates collagen, it activates gelatin, it activates glycine. Very important, through the paraventricular nuclei. They're correct about that, but also it goes all the way to the mouth of God with the medulla oblongata.
Didn't God have this thing all figured out, that we don't need any of this extra stuff, right?
Doctors are here to complicate it.
You think?
You know, it's really very simple. Health is really simple and uses common sense, and that's the maybe and the yes, no. You know, there's sense, nonsense, and common sense. And common sense is generated by yawning because it's contagious. It's called empathy. We generate empathy through yawning. And if you want to do something to heal the world, yawn when you go out in public. You'll get other people to yawn, and pretty soon people will be clear of their trauma, and they won't have to enact their trauma to get rid of it. They're doing it simply by yawning. And I've seen the clinic over and over and over again. I've seen cases of elephant leg or rhinoceros foot edema go down in a half hour by simply yawning.
Adam Bergstrom, Patrick Timpone, OneRadioNetwork.com. Ellen writes in, how does yawning affect the fascia?
Same way, through gelatin, through glycine, definitely affects the fascia. It's part of the musculoskeletal system, and also a lot of people don't realize that skin, because it has collagen, is part of that system. And remember, the skin is important because the mainstream medicine has incorrectly located the medulla oblongata, adrenal medulla, and put it on the top of that little tri-cornered hat on top of the kidneys. It's actually in the skin, the greater part of it. So our skin is our adrenals, and doctors don't know that. Yet General Electric research was clear back in the 1910s and 1920s. They knew more about the adrenal glands than doctors today even dream about.
Mm-hmm. We're talking about mold. Ellen writes in, do you think it's healthy to eat cheese such as blue cheese that have active penicillin-type molds in them? Yeah, that's a great question. Who would know?
Excellent, because remember, isopathy, you fight a mold with another mold. So one of the best things to get rid of mold is eat cooked mushrooms, not raw ones, but cooked mushrooms, because mushrooms have their gastrointestinal tract on the outside instead of the inside. And you'll notice the tongue-like design. It's one of the greatest things for healing the cracks in your tongue, because that is a special form of B6 that you can't get in any supplement in the world. Unless they start taking it from the mushroom, but I don't see anybody about to do it.
888-663-6386. Email patrick@oneradionetwork.com. Just returned from a Klinghardt seminar. The takeaway message was broccoli sprouts. I'm hearing more about those. Does Adam have any insights on broccoli sprouts?
Middle of the day.
Good though.
Otherwise, it's no greater than any other food. The true superfoods are sugar in its natural state. So carbon, hydrogen, nitrogen, oxygen, those are the mega, the macro elements, and those are the ones I'm primarily interested in. If you balance those out, and yawning is one way, the micro minerals take care of themselves.
So give me an idea what those superfoods are you're talking about that way?
Well, anything that has carbon, hydrogen, oxygen, or nitrogen. Now, carbon, hydrogen, oxygen, that's called sugar. It's also called fat. And when you add nitrogen, you get protein. Those are the major things. That's why you can have an air plant totally out of the soil, gets no minerals except what it gets in the air, and it does beautifully. How does that happen? How do they explain air plants and plants that can be totally devoid of minerals and yet survive?
Yeah. To riches,
you know, I'm not seeing micro minerals, but there's a fetish about them. Instead of looking for health as a lifestyle, people are busy trying to find a magic chemical that's going to cure them and make them a super person. And they always pick one element out of many. For instance, B1, there's no such thing as B1. There's about 100 different B1s, But science only looks at the one that it knows about. And that's the ignorance now. 100 years from now, they're going to throw most of the stuff we have out. Unfortunately, they'll throw out the valuable place. It's stuff like they did with old-time medicine.
Good morning. I ask Adam, why do I yawn a lot while driving, and why when my husband is in the car with me at times? Okay.
Getting rid of trauma. And by the way, the marital martial arts, according to Swami Nitty-Gritty, was the best thing going. So congratulations. But yawning, if you want to increase your yawning and recycle yourself quicker, drive at 60 miles an hour exactly, and you will synchronize with the speed of the earth, an octave of it, and you will find that you can hold your breath much longer, and you can yawn bigger and better and longer and more ferocious yawns.
You know, I find that oftentimes I'm driving back from Austin after a trip to the hippie food store somewhere, maybe 3, 4, 5 o'clock. And towards the end of the drive, maybe the last 10 minutes, it's all I do is yawn. So I'm trying to get my stretch in while I'm driving, and I know people must look at me like I'm weird, and I got my arms up. And I wonder what that's about. Must be release of, I don't know, tension, or why does the body...
Moving at different speeds actually synchronizes the brain. That's why 60 miles an hour will generate more yawns than any other yawns, because, again, it's an octave of the speed of the earth. The rotation of the earth, we can actually match, and the 24-hour day can be divided into cycles. Musicians know that those octaves can affect, you can get like an 8, 16, and 32. All of those have vibratory rates in strings, like on a harp or a guitar, and those vibes happen. We can do that frequency thing by simply yawning, and by driving at different speeds, you will get different traumas. Different traumas release will happen at 35 miles an hour than at 36 miles an hour. So you could actually do a therapy where you drive like 100 miles, and one time you drive at 35 miles, the next at 36 miles and 37. The frequency of bone happens to be a cat's purr, by the way. So cats also know how to heal themselves by purring and yawning and stretching and pandiculation.
Please ask Adam, what type of inversion table is the best? Oh, yeah. I've got a really, really nice one. I don't know the brand name of it. Have you ever messed around with them?
Oh, yeah. There was a time that I was on an inversion table 20 minutes of every meridian. I would, while I was writing my newsletters and things back in the 80s, I would take off 20 minutes. And that would be pretty close to 24 hours. I would hang on that for 20 minutes each time. No more than that, because after that, it can become counterproductive for reasons I don't even fully understand. But
and you would go completely upside down?
Yeah, well, one reason, look at iridology. There's a senile mark called the arcus senilis. What does that cause? Why is it on the top? If anyone has ever made clarified butter, they'll notice foam on the top, and then the heavy stuff goes to the bottom. Clearly, when people stand up all the time on their feet, they're going to get the same thing. The solid goes to the bottom of the iris, where the kidneys happen to be, the reflexes, and the brain is in the upper. So people often get dementia simply by being upright all the time, and not being like a kid who loves to stand on their head and do things like that. There was a time I walked on my hands all the time. I couldn't go to the beach without walking on my hands.
To the listener, I will look at the brand name of the one that I purchased a few years back when I had the sciatica karma, and it is really a brilliant design. It's so well balanced. You get on that puppy, and you can just move your arms a little bit, and it automatically goes back, and you can control exactly the degree of how far you are, the angle there, Adam, and just by moving your arms, it's really a beautiful, well-designed little tool, and I'll give you the name of that. And
excellent.
They're kind of fun. Yeah, they're really nice.
It's very important if a person doesn't have that, at least practice standing on their head, or even doing a shoulder stand will bring that energy down into the brain.
Oh, that's right. I've done those for years. I didn't realize. I was kind of, that's almost vertical there, even though Yeah, I do shoulder stands. I've been doing it for 30, 40 years, shoulder stands. Oh.
My record of a shoulder stand is 1 hour and 11 minutes.
You go, boy, really? You told us that that's really beneficial for the thyroid as well, right? The
shoulder stand. You bet. Thyroid, and then do the counter arch technique, you know, to balance it out. That's like balance your bicep and your tricep, et cetera.
Well, Anna Bergstrom, brilliant work. We have to go. We're going to talk to Dr. Peter Bregan. This should be a great show. Hope you listen. And there's 16 blogs now, 16, count them, of How to Yawn and Stretch on OneRadioNetwork.com. Adam Bergstrom, How to Yawn and Stretch. Adam, your two websites are SunSync Nutrition. That's a $99 deal once a lifetime. And so even if you lived in 144, which is, you know, our goal, 144.
That's the goal.
That's the goal, 144. So we're about half, we're about midlife.
It takes a long time to get young.
I'm about to have a midlife crisis. Okay. So, and then also SunSync Nutrition, that's the pay one. And the free guy is solartiming.com. Right, Adam?
That's it.
All right, brother. Brilliant work. We love you. And we will see you soon. I'm sure you'll be on before, you know. You're always on before the first of the month. Okay, thanks for being there for us.
Bye. Bright sun upon you.
Thank you. May the blessings be. And Dr. Peter Bregan is coming up. And this is a very important message. Listen to this. Take note now. I don't believe I've heard such a concise, clear explanation of what EMFs could possibly do to the body than recently with Dr. Lee Cowden.
Now, electromagnetic fields are multiply problematic because the electromagnetic fields will disrupt the membrane barriers. So it disrupts the gut barrier and allows more toxins to get from the gut into the bloodstream. It disrupts the blood vessel barrier, so you get more toxins from the bloodstream out into the tissues. It disrupts the blood-brain barrier, which allows more toxins from the bloodstream to get into the brain. And the electromagnetic fields are screwing up the electrical charge across the cell membrane. The health of a cell is determined primarily by the electrical charge across the cell membrane. But when you expose a cell to electromagnetic field, that charge across the cell membrane diminishes over time. And so the cell becomes sicker and sicker and sicker. Now, in addition, research from Europe shows that whenever you expose microbes to electromagnetic fields, they grow faster and produce more biotoxins. So we know that funguses, for example, will produce as much as 600 times more biotoxin or mycotoxin if they are outside of a Faraday cage compared to being inside of a Faraday cage in the same environment.
So as you know, the only way to absolutely be protected from all EMFs is live in a Faraday cage, but that's probably not very practicable. We have the Blue Shield technology through Brandon Amalani. We think this is a very, very effective ways to build your body's immunity with the cells. Look at the technology, talk to Brandon, email him, look at it closely, research it, and see what you think. Blue Shield, right on the front page of OneRadioNetwork.com.